Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller Light flow.
Chicago's home for sports. Jay Cutler with Waddle and Sylvie.
Cutler down the middle, right in stride.
Jay Cutler, Fridays at 3.
Second and 10, finds the pocket. Cutler, what a grab for the touchdown!
Fridays at 3.
That was a sick throw by Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, life in the fast lane. We could also do the song "Where in the World Is Carmen Sandiego," and make it to "Where in the World Is Jay Cutler." We were talking to him, I think, a couple of weeks ago on his way. I think he had just landed in Montana.
Yeah,
and he was trying to find his bow.
Right, his bow had gotten lost. I believe the airlines had lost his bow. I did see an Instagram story today where it was raining, and I think he was playing Uno.
Okay.
But I don't know where he is.
All right, Jay Cutler is brought to you by Cuts by Jay and Pat. Visit cutsbyjayandpat.com. You're absolutely going to love it. And check out Jay's podcast, Uncut, with Jay Cutler. Cutty, tell Waddle where you are doing this hit from.
I am in the Bahamas. It's fall break for the kids.
Ooh.
So me and the kiddos came down for 4 or 5 days.
Love it. I love the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's nice. Water slides there, big pool. What do you got? What are the amenities?
Yeah. We got water slides. There's a huge pirate ship thing. But, I mean, we've been putting on a show with the water slides. I mean, racing down. I mean, gosh. I'm probably 100 water slides a day.
That's a lot. Are you worn out?
It is a lot. You know, I think I finally, they wore me out the first couple of days. I think I finally battled back, and I think I wore them out because they're all kind of in bed, kind of just taking a little breather right now before dinner and stuff. So it's a battle, though. It's a straight-up battle.
What kind of weather do you get in the Bahamas in the middle of October?
I wasn't sure because I hadn't been here this time of year, but it was 80, it's 85 right now, sunny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think, yeah, you're going to get like most of the time.
Yeah, the sun isn't quite as intense as it is in the summer when we're here, but it's good. It's really good. And the kids have been having fun, so we're all right.
Outside of Nashville, Chicago, your home, where is your favorite place in the world, if you could be anywhere?
You know, I think it's so hard, and I've been very fortunate to travel around quite a bit. There's a lot of places that I want to go to, but, you know, we went to Bora Bora long time ago. We've been to Italy a couple times. I love this place in the Bahamas that we go to. You know, I want to go to Greece. We were supposed to go to China and kind of do Maldives and all of that before COVID hit in February. But that got canceled, so I want to do that at some point. I don't know.
Was it a successful hunt last week in Montana? Or south, where?
You know, it was successful. Didn't get an elk. Could have pulled the trigger numerous times. But I'm going back again. What is that? The 22nd. So we'll give it another go.
Why didn't you pull the trigger?
You know, there are just some 5x5s, and we've got bigger elk out there. So I was just waiting for something a little bigger.
Yeah, the 5x5s.
Yeah,
you know about the 5x5.
Yeah. You guys know that. We're talking the same lingo.
Yeah.
I heard you guys had an interesting Saturday.
Yes. It started at the Tuscany Garden Restaurant.
Have you heard of the Tuscany Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Jay?
Yeah. I think that's on the Michelin star list, right?
We did cross-reference it with TripAdvisor,
and
it did rank like 140 out of like 3,000 restaurants. So I thought
that's
we were
bad.
Good. Not bad.
It was the ultimate old man Vegas trip, like in all on a number of ways.
We dropped the ball.
Yeah. It's okay.
Did you guys even see Midnight? Probably didn't even see Midnight.
No.
Are you kidding me?
We were day drinking. Day drinking. I like drinking at the game. I like drinking at the pool. And I'm at the point right now where I'm just...
I was fighting my eyelids at 11 o'clock on Saturday nights. That's what I was fighting.
Oh, yeah. I would rather day drink, get a nice dinner, and just go to bed.
Boom. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Like, speaking our language.
What are we going to do at the clubs? You know what I mean?
Don't be the old guy at the club.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't be the old guy at the club.
Can't be the old guy at the club.
Yeah. Waddle, did you ever put money on black when you were playing roulette after dinner?
No, I played numbers.
No chance.
Okay. I play numbers. Right. Oh, I know. I was supposed to play his.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll send you $10, Jed.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. How are we feeling about this week?
I feel a little optimistic. I don't know.
I think. How did I word it? I said I'm not feeling hopeless.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a good place to be.
There have been times in this series between the Bears and the Packers where, as a spectator, I have felt hopeless. I don't feel
absolutely.
That way. I think you're catching the Packers at the right time. The defense for the Bears is playing well. I think they got a little momentum. I just think
defense is playing great.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders, Derek Carr is good. I mean, they got some dudes, and offensively, you know, Gruden was obviously coached. I mean, he can dial some up, but. You know, the defense is playing well. We're running the ball well. You know, they're taking care of the QB. And, you know, there's kind of, I mean, it's not the prettiest games in the world, but they're winning.
We were going to ask you that. Like, you get, there's a point where you want him to protect the rookie quarterback, unlike what they did in Cleveland.
Sure.
But then you're playing the next 2 weeks, Jay, they're playing Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Two of the top five best quarterbacks ever. So when do you try and step on the gas and do some more stuff without exposing Justin Fields to some bad stuff?
Well, that's the dilemma, and you got two options here. Either you say, "Hey, let's turn him loose and let's do some more stuff and let's see what happens and try to keep up with these guys," or you go the opposite way and say, "Hey, you know, let's just play keep away. You know, our defense is playing really good. Let's play field position. Let's run the hell out of the ball. Let's do all the play action. Let's grind out the clock. And, you know, let's cut these possessions down and not let them score, you know, 35. Now let's make this a 14-17 game, 21-24 game, something that you can manage."
What would you do?
I'd probably do that.
Yeah. Really?
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it might work if you go out there and you – let Justin do all the things and you air it out. But, you know, you're going against Aaron and Tom Brady. Like, you know what happens if they get touched the ball a lot. At some point, they're going to score points.
When you look back at this rivalry, and you participated in quite a bit, what's the most lasting memory of your time as a Bears player facing the Packers?
You know, I think it's the fans and how invested they were. And I mean, I think, you know, you go look at the storied programs, and like, I always loved playing in Green Bay. I didn't like the drive up. I thought that was, I think the NFL should fix that. I think that's ridiculous. But,
Fix it how?
Well, I mean, you can't stay in Green Bay.
Stay in Appleton, right? Isn't that where you stay?
Yeah. Like, build another hotel. Give me a break.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
It's not a fun trip at all. But, you know, I loved, you know, Lambeau Field and Soldier Field. I mean, I think those there's just something special and nostalgic about playing, you know, in that rivalry and the fans and how invested everyone is. And I think that's probably, you know, the biggest memory.
We spent yesterday, you know, that's what we do for a living, is we put lists together and we, you know, come up with different thoughts. We were trying to come up with our top five quarterbacks of all time. And I think both Sylvie and I, we both had Aaron Rodgers in our top five. Would Aaron Rodgers make your top five all-time greatest quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think he has to be. I mean, even without another Super Bowl, I think he has to be. Just how efficient he's been.
I think we had Brady 1.
Yep. Montana 2.
Montana, and then
Peyton.
Peyton. And then it was, for me, it was Aaron Rodgers.
And then Marino.
And then Dan Marino.
Yeah.
And then you were 6.
I like it.
You were 6.
I think Aaron has probably done more with less talent around him than those other four as well.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Whenever you start breaking it down,
wasn't there a time where you got to know him pretty well?
Yeah. He was in Nashville quite a bit for a little while.
And what was the relationship like with him?
I mean, he's cool. I mean, very, very smart guy, very thoughtful guy. funny. I always liked hanging out with Aaron.
How do you believe that this is the last year he'll be in Green Bay?
I don't know. I mean, he tried to power play him and came back. I think if you're Green Bay, you just give him what he wants. I mean, I don't know why not? Like, what's worst case scenario here?
Is he leaves. Worst That's what I've always said, right.
Worst case scenario is he leaves, goes and wins the Super Bowl somewhere else, and, you know, then you've got that whole situation.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, you just give him what he wants for however long he wants because he's still playing at a high level, you know, and I'm pretty – and, you know, these quarterbacks and these guys have been around for a while. Like, they know talent. They know what they need in the huddle. So taking advice from him isn't going to hurt you. I guarantee that.
Have you seen the league? I mean, is this the most equipped the league has been, the most set up it's been with young quarterback talents ever?
It's been a while. It's been a long time since these many guys and this high level of play and, you know, some exciting dudes that are out there. So it's a fun time. And, you know, they're protecting the guys too. So, I mean, actually, can we talk about the Joe Burrow hit?
Which one?
The one he got knocked out in and then came back and played.
So we were watching on the screen because we were at Allegiant. So, you know, I read about it, but we were just watching the end with all the missed field goal kicks and when the Bengals kicker thought he made it, he didn't. But we didn't see
I don't think we saw the hit.
So describe it.
He kind of got clipped. Sorry, planes went over. He kind of got clipped. Like one of his legs and was kind of almost somersaulting. And then another guy ran into him, hit him in the head. And I'd have to watch it again. But if he wasn't knocked out, then I'd be shocked.
Well, it's funny because we've talked to you about concussions. And there was a play where I guess then they called it a stinger. And we're so far away. We're in the last row of the second deck of the end zone. But Derek Carr was down on that turf. I don't know if you saw this part. He was down on the turf for a good two or three full minutes, and each team surrounded him on a knee. Like, it was serious stuff. And then three plays later, Derek Carr is jogging back into the game, and I'm saying to myself...
It's insane.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, they're supposed to be these independent doctors who are looking out for the benefit of the player's health. But do you believe that's really going on?
I don't know. I mean, I get it as a player. I did the same thing. I mean, I'd tell the doctors anything I had to say to get back in the game. So I get Derek Carr and I get Joe Burrow. I get the whole thing. You know, I think in the NFL gets on these tangents, and they, you know, some of them will last a year, some of them last a couple of years. You know, we'll go down a tangent. You know, now we're doing the whole taunting thing. You know, in years past, it was defensive pass interference was a hot topic. Then it was holding, and then it was, you know, buckling up both your chin straps. I mean, it's they get on these random tangents sometimes and just overdo it. So I think we're kind of coming out of the whole concussion. Importance at this point.
Now it's taunting. The focus is now on taunting.
Which is, of course.
Yeah, now it's
silly.
Yeah,
it's silly.
You got to get these patterns that they get into, and they'll last for a couple of years, and it'll be something else.
There was a penalty on a bear who had clapped towards a player.
Yeah.
And that was called taunting. Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, you guys are hitting each other out there, and we're throwing a flag for clapping.
It just hurts the game. And I mean, and I feel like the NFL like puts these rules in, and they're the very last ones to figure out that, hey, that was a bad idea. When everyone else figures it out, knows it's a bad idea, NFL waits till the very last one to know and be like, oh, sorry, we got to change this.
So do you think the Bears win at home on Sunday, or do you think it's still too steep a mountain to climb against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
No, I agree with you. I think it's a prime time. I think they got a good shot. It looks like the offense is kind of trended in the right direction. They're doing the right things. They're protecting Justin. He's making plays. He's making some big throws when he makes deep throws. The defense is playing well. And it's not like Green Bay is just lighting it up either. I mean, I think they're going through some growing pains as well. And offensively, they just don't look as clean and as efficient and as, you know, dynamic as they have in the past. I say all this, and, you know, Stan's probably going to go 28 for 29.
I agree. Not with that part, but with I think they can do. I think this is going to be a field goal game. The spread keeps going up. It started at 4.5. It's up to 6 now for the Packers.
Really? So
and like the smart money and the public are both on the Packers right now. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, one other game I get your impression on. Justin Herbert and the Chargers, I believe, are squaring off with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I don't know if you saw the Lamar Jackson performance last Monday night. Like, incredible, incredible player that he has become.
Yeah.
Or he has been for years.
And he's, you know, they're losing the game, and, you know, the defense starts going into almost prevent, just too deep, and just bailing out of there. And I mean, and he made the smart play. He wasn't forcing the ball. He was just checking it down, running, checking it down, hit a big play. So, I mean, you can see he's evolving in the pocket as well. And then when he gets outside the pocket, it's game over. I mean, he's one of the best running backs out there.
It's a fun time to be an NFL fan these days. It really
is. Every week.
It really is.
Herbert, I'm a huge fan of his. He's phenomenal. Dude's playing lights out. He's big. He's strong. Got a cannon. He can also move too. So
yeah,
there's some. It's like you said. It's a good time to be an NFL fan.
It is.
That's right. Jay, enjoy the rest of the vacation.
Yep,
thank
enjoy
you.
Enjoy the kids.
Cool. All right, thanks, guys.
Jay Cutler every Friday, 3 o'clock. Good stuff. Always just. He's just a fun dude to talk to, whether it's about being in the Bahamas or just shooting the breeze about the Bears. He thinks they have a good shot to you. Jay Cutler brought to you by Cuts by Jay and Pat. Visit cutsbyjayandpat.com. Check out his meat
company.
And also check out his podcast, Uncut, with Jay Cutler. There's a lot of, like, interesting lingo in both of those, isn't there?
Yes.
All right. A little move away from football here. I know you want to go through the games for Waddle's World.
Yeah, I got some games highlighted.
But I do want to share what Tom Ricketts has to say about whether or not he's in for 2022. Tom Ricketts has spoken, and the Cubs have a new general manager. Are they going to go through another rebuild year, or are they going to try to compete? I'll read you what he sent out, and you tell me. That's coming up next.
This is a Miller Lite Waddle and Sylvie broadcast, live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000,
100.3 HD2,
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Having a blast at the Binney's Beverage Depot celebrating a Football Friday. We're calling this a Football Friday festival.
It is. I think it's gotten warmer, too. I think the temperature's going up, not down.
Not bad. It is not bad right now. It's overcast. The rain has left. The sun was peeking out a little bit. Got a great group of fans. They're enjoying the Connie's Frozen Pizza. We got Bears fans. We got Packers. Got two guys who made some Bears shirts. Those look pretty good. I don't know if you guys made them yourself or you bought.
Fair, and you buy somebody uses the spray guns.
Yeah, it's really
cool. You guys get that at a state fair
in L.A., Los Angeles. Wow.
Right.
So here's what we got. We're giving away Bears Packers tickets for Sunday. Not one pair, but two pair. Why don't you come on by Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park and sign up? It's brought to you by Miller Lite, and it's in the Miller Lite loft inside Soldier Field. We've got Connie's frozen pizza samples. If you use the code word Sylvie sent me, or code phrase Sylvie sent me, or Pizza Man sent me, they will give you a coupon for a free Connie's frozen pizza at your local grocer like Mariano's or Jewel Osco. Remember, it's Friday night. It's National Pizza Month. You don't want to cook tonight. You got games on. You're watching all this great stuff. You want to go pick up a Connie's frozen pizza. You pop it in the oven, and boom, you've got that great taste that they've been cooking up since 1963 right in your own home. We're also donating books to Bernie's Book Bank. And if you donate books, you'll enjoy the free Connie's pizza. So we encourage you to come on by and buy some Miller Lite, of course, which is bringing you this whole festival at Binney's.
Miller time.
Yes.
It's always Miller time.
All right. Is it time to spend for the Cubs? I want you to be the judge, all right? Tom Reckitt sent this out to season ticket holders. Do you want all the fluff, too, or do you want me to get to the main? You want me to fluff?
Sure.
I'll fluff.
You're good at it.
It's on Cubs letterhead from Tom Ricketts. It's headline building the next great Cubs team. Dear Cubs fans, in our 12 years together, never have we experienced so many ups and downs in one season. After 18 months, we enjoyed our much-anticipated Wrigley Field reunion and celebrated some early season success on the field. Following time at the top of our division, we also endured a double-digit losing streak and difficult departure.
Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, we apologize for the technical difficulties. We're back. Hopefully we've got them all worked out.
Spilled beer on the controller.
Waddle again with his Miller Lite all over.
Blame me and the coffee. It's me.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're at Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. Football Friday Festival. We are giving away Bears Packers tickets. Come on by to register to win. For Sunday's game, we've got two pairs of tickets. You could just stop by, pick up some Miller Lite, and then sign up. You don't even have to be present to win. A lot of our fans are staying. We've had a great time out here. As it's sort of an outdoor tailgate feature.
Great.
We've got the Connie's Frozen Pizza for you to sample if you donate a book to Bernie's Book Bank. And then you got coupons as well for free Connie's Frozen Pizza if you mentioned Sylvie sent me or Pizza Man sent me. I was reading.
I want you to read again. You were reading flawlessly.
It was a flawless read,
I closed my eyes, and I actually could envision Tom Ricketts.
Right. We've talked a ton of Bears Packers. We're going to talk a ton of Bears Packers Football Friday. Going to get to Waddle's World here like usual, but I'm reading what Tom Ricketts sent out.
Do it again. Can you do it again?
I can't sum it up.
No, you start over.
Cubs letterhead. Abdallah, you heard none of this, right? Or are you guys just playing with me here?
We heard the Cubs letterhead part, and then as soon as you started to read, it's as if people were like, we don't care what Tom Ricketts has to say.
Tom Ricketts, were those the baseball gods punishing the Cubs right there?
Wow, that's a really good point. I will say this. I got even money that you can't do it again.
You're 100%. Yeah. I would say that's minus 180.
Minus 180?
Yeah, that I can't do it again. It says, building the next great Cubs team. Dear Cubs fans, in our 12 years together, we've experienced so many ups and downs in one season. After 18 months, we enjoyed our much-anticipated Wrigley Field reunion and celebrated some early season success on the field. Following time at the top of our division, we also endured a double-digit losing streak and some difficult departure of players we all love. As mentioned in my April 2nd letter, we made some tough decisions that created near-term competitive challenges in return for longer-term competitive advantages. Our midseason moves also paved the way for the emergence of new impactful players in addition to the infusion of promising prospects. 2021 was an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. In the midst of all the change this year, David Ross did an amazing job.
Awesome.
As our players were focused and ready to play, from our accomplished veterans to our remarkable rookies, our players didn't let up in the second half of the season. From August 12th on, we were second in OPS in the National League with a 780 OPS and fourth in the NL in runs scored per game at 491. We also enjoyed solid play from our many new Cubs, including Patrick Wisdom, who set our season. All right, see there, I flubbed.
Good. Good run, though, Tom.
Good run. Single season rookie mark with 28 home runs, and Frank Schwindel,
Schwindy City,
who led all major leaguers in hits and was second in batting average from the trade deadline through the end of this season. While we failed to extend our six straight winning season streak and secure our spot in the postseason, we made important changes that put us in a position to succeed as we build the next great Cubs team. Beginning to replenish our much-improved farm system was just the start. Now, here's the key, Waddle.
All right, here we go.
Here's the key. Jed and the team are now focused on reloading our roster. We have the resources necessary to compete in 2022
there you go.
And beyond, and we will use them. We will be active in free agency and continue to make thoughtful decisions to bolster our team this offseason. While highs and lows are part of our game and nothing novel for unwavering Cubs fans, I know 2021 was a lot to process. Further, while making good long-term decisions with our roster looks good on paper, it doesn't soften the pain of losing or the emptiness of missing the postseason. With our attention now solely on the 2022 season, please know this. We respect your high expectations. We share your desire to win, and we commit to fielding a competitive team reflective of your unrivaled support. We're more than excited to enjoy both the journey and our ultimate destination of winning another World Series championship with you again soon. Finally, in a year marked by the ongoing pandemic and significant on-field change, your remarkable support was certainly a silver lining. As always, thank you again for being the best fans in baseball. Sincerely, Tom.
P.S. We are raising ticket prices by 23%.
And your invoice is in the mail.
Yes.
Please look, pay by November 1st.
There are several messages there. Spigot's back on.
Yeah, you do believe
Spigot's
that.
Back
what,
on.
What is, now, the key there is we have the resources necessary to compete in 2022 and beyond.
What, I put a wish list together for you. What did that say? My handwriting sucks.
But. It is. Wow.
That's bad.
Really? But no. Really? This is.
Yeah, this might. Yeah. Well, like, if you have the resources.
Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray.
They're all going to be available.
I don't think both teams will combine to sign the three of them.
Well,
those are guys that both teams should be in on.
Mr. Ricketts?
Look, dude, it's one thing to put pen to paper. It's another thing to.
Well, you listen, I get it. You were trying to sell me on Patrick Wisdom and the Schwindy City, you know, miracle.
In the Schwindy City miracle.
But, like, if you've got the resources.
Can I add another name?
Yeah.
Give me the pen.
Who else? Let me see. I'm trying to think who the next big name is. Javi Baez?
Could he have written Tom any bigger at the bottom of that letter, by the way?
Contreras?
He's Tom with a capital
That's
T.
How I signed my name. It's exactly like that. Yeah. I swear to God. When I signed my name, like, if I was signing a note to somebody, that's how I would sign it.
And
almost.
It says, oh, I missed the P.S. It says, P.S., biblical losses.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
So you want to spend the money on Contreras.
Contreras, too. What are we waiting for?
Okay.
Can I tell you one quick baseball thought? And I know many people aren't focused on the Cubs, but they did hire a new general manager. They sent this out, and it sounds like they're going to try to compete. The way he phrased it. I mean, we've got this letter. Let's bookmark this. If they suck next year and if they do nothing in the offseason, we're going to say, what the hell is all this? What the hell was this? But let me – and it's one thing. Do you know how you watch postseason baseball?
Oh, I love postseason baseball.
I love postseason. Yeah. I love the game last night. It sucks.
I got some of that. We're going to have some baseball conversation later.
But do you know when I watch football when the Bears aren't playing or they're on a Sunday night game and you're watching the red zone and you're measuring all the rest of the league against your favorite team as you see Justin Herbert go and you see Lamar Jackson go, you see Josh Allen go, you see what the Bills are doing, you see all that stuff, and you're compared to your team. While my team is at home for the first time in a long time during the postseason, and I'm watching the Sox and others, I was thinking again about Contreras, and I've been on this bandwagon, that look, don't take it down to the trade deadline again with Contreras and have to sell. They should be proactive, and they should extend him right now. I was watching Grandal, and I hear from Sox fans. Grandal can hit. Grandal can get on base. Grandal is a terrible defensive catcher. Terrible. How many times did the ball get away from him? How many times could he not even throw the ball? He doesn't throw runners out on base. He was benched by the Dodgers a few postseasons ago in the postseason because of all these. Do you know how rare it is to have a catcher who can do both? Do you know how rare it is to have a catcher who can hit? First of all, offensive catchers are rare to begin with. And usually those offensive catchers can't defend. He is 30 years old, still relatively young. He is offensive and defensively plus. He can hit for power, he could get on base, and he could defend. Do you know how few of those guys there are? It's like having a Travis Kelce. When you have a Travis Kelce, you don't get rid of him. There are some tight ends who could block, some tight ends who could receive.
Well, don't you have faith that you just said to me that they've got resources.
All right, well.
Wouldn't you expect now, that Contreras? Otherwise, if they weren't planning on signing Contreras to an extension, they would have traded him. Because he was a guy that actually could have brought you something back in return as well.
Well, right. I mean, but and I hope that it's not a bad baseball move where you're going to trade him with no years left. Again, I don't think catching even goes for the astronomical price. I think the highest paid catcher is like in the low 20s.
Right.
I don't think it's that high. And again, Contreras has showed you the ability, if he gets older and can't catch, that he could play the outfield too.
I'm assuming that Contreras is going to be real.
Okay, well you're stupid then.
Well, that goes without saying.
I mean, nobody was re-upped.
Dick Tracy, no. Where'd you park the cop car?
There wasn't. It takes two to tango. No one was re-upped. No one.
Again,
there
if
was
you
zero guys re-upped.
If you weren't intending on re-upping him or keeping him in your system, why wouldn't you have traded him? He definitely could have brought you stuff back.
He's not perfect, but again, do you know how few guys who play the game are readily available?
I got it.
Everybody is looking for catching. Not only do you have catching, you have a plus offensive catcher, and he's plus defensively. That is so rare. You cannot let that guy get away. The Sox are already talking about dabbling in the world market.
Could they let the second coming of Johnny Bench go? They won't. They won't.
You make big red machine jokes over there. All
I
right?
will.
Yeah.
You wish you had a big red machine.
How'd your team do down the stretch when
they suck?
I mean, still making jokes about the
70s. I'm not talking about this version of the Reds. I'm talking about the big red machine. You don't want any of that.
You should have saw them in 1975.
That big red machine team would have swatted you like a gnat. That's what they would have done to you.
You got to keep Johnny Bench. Johnny Bench is great.
I would have been doing the same thing you're doing now for Willie Contreras.
Willie Contreras is good.
I know he is, and that's why they're going to keep him. I'm taking from your response, you don't have any trust in your team that they're going to sign anybody.
Do you believe him? Do you believe what Tom Ricketts has to say?
I think that they will spend money. How much money, that will be determined. I will bet you, do you want to bet a Stoichki that they re-sign Willie Contreras?
No, I don't want to bet $100.
I want
that to happen.
$10? $10.
$10.
$10.
Sandwich,
I say they'll
sandwich
sign.
Sandwich bat one.
Okay, I've got a.
That's me doing hoodie doing me.
Okay.
Just for the record.
I feel pretty confident. Yeah, that's good. I don't think Hoodie wants any part of that. That'd be a Sylvie sandwich, wouldn't it? That would be two of you and one of him.
Quite frankly, I don't want a part of it either. So I think we're all out.
This is the point. I mean, look. I just don't get, unless it was you just didn't want to sign these guys, and I get that. Like, for whatever reason, if you decide a younger Carlos Correa is a guy that you would like to focus on versus Chris Bryant at his age or whatever the case may be, you know how I felt all along. You're going to tell me that you couldn't steady the ship for a year? So now you had to...
You've replenished. Now steady it and sign some guys who could be around for a while.
Right.
The pitching is the key there. Now, the one thing you want to avoid, though, are Jason Hayward-type deals.
Sure.
You know, they thought he was perfect because, A, he was only 26, so that he'd be around forever, and he has been.
I
like Jason, but like the contract has really hamstrung them.
I would just be careful thinking that Patrick Wisdom and the Schwindy City Miracle are going to be foundation of your organization.
100%.
I just would be really careful
with that. You have to go in. This pitching staff stinks.
Yeah.
They have Kyle Hendricks, who's coming off of his worst year, and what else?
Yeah.
What else do they have in the starting pitch? Starting pitching.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting? They got Alzolay, who hasn't really shown you. They've got Braylon Marquez, I believe, is one of their guys who is one of their highest rated. Again, he's a prospect coming up, but you don't have anything in that starting rotation that resembles good stuff going on.
I wish I could support this conversation. I did not watch a Cubs game, and probably a horrible acknowledgement considering.
Yeah.
You know what we're doing right now? Like, we're not talking about music. We're talking about sports, and I'm being honest, that's what he did.
Like, Tom Ricketts created the Marquee Network, and Tom Ricketts, the team was so bad. And again, I was for a lot of those moves. But you had to at that point. But he created this Marquee Network. What he did was he took eyes off his own network that he wants eyeballs on. And if he doesn't go for it, no one will watch again. No one, Boog is good, and no one will watch Boog. And they brought Dan Plesac in, and no one will watch Dan. And they won't watch Sot, and they won't watch Dem.
Well, those guys are great, but if the product on the field isn't worth watching, then I'm not turning it on for those guys, to be honest with you, as much as I like all those guys.
That's the letter from Tom, T-O-M.
So you feel you it looks like you feel a little
it's the old saying, walk the if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. So, now it's time to walk.
Yes.
Now
we'll
it's time to don't tell me, show me.
Now.
Show
does
me
he,
now.
Does he also have like he can say that, but if they can't come to an agreement with a collective bargaining
issue.
Right.
That's the other monkey wrench here.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't even know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the labor agreement expires. Both sides are going to want big changes. Like,
yes.
Players are going to want free agency earlier. They don't have small arguments to be had. These are going to be large-scale arguments that many think could provide a strike or a lockout.
We're done at the end of this year, right?
This year.
So right. I'm
new
not...
New rules.
Boy,
there's lots of stuff.
I got to tell you, I'm at least 35 to... I'll go 45%... likely that there will be a work stoppage.
Well, boy, after all of them complaining about the money and all of the losses because they didn't have full stadiums, if they lock the players out and they keep fans away from the stadiums out of a pandemic, then that's on them.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, if I'm a player and I want something now, I'm going to remember what Tom Ricketts said and what the St. Louis owner said and say to myself, boy, they even panicked during the pandemic.
Yeah.
We think we could put some pressure on. Okay, fine, lock us out. Do you think they would lock the players out knowing that they can't afford again to not have those ballparks full?
I think it's, like I said, I think that there's a 45% chance that there won't be baseball at the normal time next year. Are you willing to go that high?
Yeah, it's about 50-50.
Yeah. I'd say just a little bit higher than 50%. 55% likely that baseball will start on time next year.
Yeah.
So I have some baseball thoughts.
Right.
Do we need to take a break right now?
Yeah,
we
do.
We
could start Waddle's World, and we'll get to football. Carmen, we have a game, too. I've got a $50 gift card to Connie's Frozen Pizza. We're going to play the Bear-Packer game. At 4, not
okay,
next, okay?
Yeah.
So we created a really quick game. We're like, hey, how do we give out the $50 gift card to Connie's Frozen Pizza? And we came up with a Bear-Packer game, which we're going to explain. Waddle's World coming up next.
Brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Live
from Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park.
On the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2, and on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller Lite flow. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. So many aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Yeah, let's do this. Waddle's World. It's warm and cozy in here. It's brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Did you enjoy the baseball game last night? The Dodgers have advanced to the CS, with a 2-1 win over the Giants. In my humble opinion, a game like that, for my purposes, is much more enjoyable than a 10-9 slugfest. I love a good pitching duel, no matter how many pitchers are employed.
You could slice it up any way possible if it's a 10-9 game or if it's a 2-1 game. Is the postseason baseball close game with the ebbs and flows again? Like, we always have the debate, are games too long during the regular season? There's 162 of them, so we're like, all right, this is a little long. But when you get to the postseason, it's the let-it-breathe mentality where you're just letting it build. And I tweeted it out, what I've been telling you all week, that I like the NFL overall more than Major League Baseball, right? I can watch more of the games. Every game is big to me during the regular season. I can't turn on a random baseball game in June that I have no rooting interest in.
Even if it's a Cubs game.
Same thing with the NBA. I could turn on a random NBA game more than I like baseball. But for my money, the postseason baseball game that has the drama of yesterday's game and the flair, the big hit and bases on and the pitching changes and And the way they did it differently, right? I mean, San Francisco got an old school star that went seven innings and he was dominant.
That dude is dealing.
And then the Dodgers completely, like they started with two different guys in the first and the second.
Yeah.
And then they went to Urias. And then they went to more guys out of the pen. And then they go to Scherzer at the end. And, I mean, like, how great is that where Scherzer's coming out? And then it ended with this stupid call.
Two things. Like, the game was glorious. That's the other side. There were two things that were really kind of interesting. The check swing was ridiculous. There was a play, there was a giant on first. It was an 0-2 count. There's no guarantee that a hit would be, but there's no guaranteeing if the play or the pitch was called correctly that he wouldn't have got a hit. It's unfortunate that the game ended in the way it did, and I'll be curious to see if there is a way, and we could argue about that forever, how you could implement something to take care of that situation going forward.
Why can't that be? We know at home whether it was a good call or bad call on the check swing. Why can't that be reviewed?
Is it?
Because it's an unreviewable. Why?
Yeah, I guess you can, but isn't there more of a
subjectivity?
There's more subjectivity with a check swing than there is whether a guy's out or safe.
JR is raising his hand. You could see him on Twitch.
There is nothing in the official MLB rulebook that defines what a check swing is. Yeah. So what are you going to compare it to?
That's a good point.
I mean, what do they compare it to now then? I mean, if there's nothing that tells you what it is, what are they doing now?
It's the umpire's discretion. That's exactly what it is. It's his call.
Well, so it should be the umpire's discretion on instant replay when you can slow it down and you can obviously conclusively tell that he did not go through the plane.
That's a fair retort. You could still use discretion, but it could be with a better view of what took place.
I think it's kind of unchallengeable at that point because it is literally his opinion and what he saw. I mean, you could replay it
from
every angle.
That was egregious to me yesterday.
I'm not arguing with
you. You are arguing with me.
No, what I'm saying is that there's not a rule in the book to compare it to.
And wrestle.
No, but anyway, like, wasn't replay, like, we've gotten down to this minutia on replay with, hey, was his hand hovering over the base for a millisecond, and then they called him safe or out, stuff like that.
Well, no hovering, no safe. So
I know how you feel about that. But why replay was initially instituted was to correct egregious mistakes. And last night to end the game was an egregious mistake.
Yes.
So if you cannot overturn an egregious mistake, replay in that aspect is failure.
Okay, it comes down to, okay, as a fan, what would you be okay with? Would you be okay with sending that back to New York and New York, with the benefit of slow motion and replay, comes to their decision?
You say,
and then you
know, he did not go. Say, that should take 30 seconds, if that.
Okay.
He did not. And I don't even know. I don't know why the fat umpires need to go to the station. Wow. Again, like, why can't they just weigh in? Like,
is that what
it was? Something like, I don't
weigh in, fat umpires. Did you do that intentionally?
Put it on the Jumbotron. Go to New York and explain it for everyone. They don't explain their calls, first of all. I don't know why you got to bring. It's like so antiquated where the captain of the umpires, the crew chief, and the umpire who made the call have to go.
They're going to call.
Anyway, let me get my
next year.
Hello, it's Joe West. Where's my steak? I'm looking for a reservation at Chicago Court afterwards, but we need to know if I screwed up again.
They're just going to call Joe West, even when he's retired next year, to get his opinion on calls is what they're going to do. The second thing is, and I got to get to this nuttiest story of the day as well because it's a good one, and nutty is the operative word. I didn't realize the protocol that existed or the good sportsmanship that existed with Dave Roberts texting Gabe Kapler like the day before or the night before who they were going to start. Like, I didn't realize that was part of the gentlemanly way that Major League Baseball
don't
is
they,
run.
Do they have a connection, don't they?
Right, they were both together with the Red Sox, but still.
Does that happen all the time?
I think Cap and Jay Hood had a really good conversation about it this morning on the show.
Dusty's not texting La Russa.
I don't think so.
Do they even text? Does Tony text?
I don't know.
Dude, how do I use this?
Yeah, I don't know, but I did not even know that that was an issue. All right, real quick, the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
This is a good one, like really good. Listen up, guys, okay? Because this may be helpful. Male contraceptive testicle bath device wins an award.
Wait, what?
Listen, the groundbreaking device promises to give men a reliable, pain-free form of birth control by using heat on their junk. A groundbreaking form of male contraception, which uses a kind of testicle bath to prevent pregnancy, has been unveiled.
Testicle bath.
In Germany, okay? The named COZO, the device uses ultrasound deep heat to cause sperm mobility in the testicles to be modified and temporarily ceased. So what they're doing now is they're heating up your balls. That's what they're doing.
What are we doing? That's what I want to know.
What do you mean, what are we doing? Well, listen.
That
you
truly
could,
is the,
you could,
that is the nuttiest story.
You could
of the
go
day.
And have a vasectomy, or you could just have somebody heat up your nuggets.
Anyone got some heat? Right here. That's what I need.
I'm just saying. Listen, they just won an award. It won an international award.
Just a heat bath.
That's what it is. Kills your swimmers.
All right, we're back in 2 minutes. We need 10 callers, 10 contestants. Why don't we do, like, every five callers, starting with 5 through 50, okay? 5, 10, you know, 15, 20, on and on. Through 50. I don't want to go through. I don't want – then I'm going to be like Francesa. 5, caller 10.
Well, you open the door. 15,
Sylvie, name all the continents.
Let me do this again, all right? Let me see here. North America, South America, Asia, Europe, Africa, Antarctica. Did I say Asia already?
I don't know. It's up to you. I don't know. Yeah. Don't give him any hints.
Australia. Yeah. There we go.
Yes, you are. You are. Yeah. Gentlemen.